Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle, Sirius XM, Channel 159, and all across the Sports Grid Radio Network on a Friday with some big breaking news in the National Football League. He's Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Lisi, let's dive right in. Within the last 20 minutes, some significant suspensions in the National Football League for five players violating the NFL's gambling policy. It includes wide receiver for the Detroit Lions, Jameson Williams, about to enter his second year. Three other Lion teammates as well, C.J. Moore and Quintez Cephas, as well as Stanley Berryhill, and a player for the Washington Commanders, Shaka Toney. As it breaks down, Joe, C.J. Moore and Quintez Cephas, along with Shaka Toney, suspended indefinitely, at least for a full season. They can reapply for reinstatement at the end of 2023. Jameson Williams and his Lions teammate, Stanley Berryhill, are suspended 6 games. That begins at the start of the 2023 NFL regular season. Joe, a ton to dive into here of how these suspensions came down, why there is a difference in punishment, and what it all means. But overall, Joe, your initial reaction to this breaking news on a Friday?
Yeah, stunned, and a lot to digest here. I mean, what is it with Alabama guys? First Calvin Ridley, now Jameson Williams in terms of this situation, and Detroit now obviously up against it. I mean, unfortunately, that's the football aspect, right? When you lose two wide receivers in terms of that, that hurts depth. That hurts the ability for that offense to be productive. But at the end of the day, they're younger players. You would think that they would learn from previous suspensions, right? With Calvin Ridley, how many? I mean, This starts in the pre-draft process. It starts at the combine. They have people coming in, what you can do, what you can't do. Agents. I mean, these players are making millions of dollars to risk their bodies in terms of the field of play. And on top of it now, they're risking their lives in terms of livelihood about never living up to expectations. And it's unfortunate. It really is. I don't know when it will stop, Ben, but, greed is good. That was the mantra, going back to the days of Wall Street. It's not changing anytime soon, but I will say this, from the NFL draft perspective, at number 6 overall, I'm going to solidify it right now. Jackson Smith-Njigba from Ohio State to the Detroit Lions, now with these suspensions.
We will talk about our mock drafts for the top 10 a little bit later on. It was going to be the theme of today's show, Lisi Guy, our top 10 for the 2023 NFL draft and mocking that out. But now we have to focus on these significant gambling suspensions in violation of the NFL's gambling policy. Now, Joe, here's a couple of things. You just mentioned Calvin Ridley, suspended for the entirety of 2022's NFL season after when he was away from the Atlanta Falcons during 2021, he placed legal sports wagers on NFL games, which of course is a clear violation of the NFL's gambling policy. He was suspended for the entirety of 2022. Detroit's C.J. Moore and Quintez Cephas and Shaka Toney from Washington all suspended indefinitely for at least a year. In fact, Joe, Detroit has already cut Cephas and Moore, who are suspended for this next season and indefinitely. Now, you would think, Joe, people would learn from that. It's pretty tough to see a colleague of sorts in Calvin Ridley get suspended for the entirety of an NFL season and still place a bet on an NFL game. That is as clear of a violation as you will find. There are a lot of people, Joe, that will say and have already stated on social media, well, what do you expect out of these guys? The NFL partners with legal sports betting operational books. Every ad in every commercial break in every NFL game broadcast features FanDuel or DraftKings or BetMGM or Caesars. It's everywhere. It is consuming the sport. Of course, people are going to be more adept into betting. It doesn't matter. If your workplace sets a rule of something you cannot do, then you cannot do it. And those have been clearly spelled out, Joe, and the ramifications from violating that policy, as we saw with Calvin Ridley. I will also say this, Joe, because it's one thing that bugs me. We both work for the Sports Grid Network. What is Sports Grid? It is a sports betting media company. From the content side, I think it's a wonderful thing, Joe. I think sports betting is a wonderful way of taking an actionable commodity and how you conceptualize sports conversations. Instead of seeing some talking head go out there and say, the Jacksonville Jaguars shouldn't be the favorites to win the AFC South. Okay, why? Why is Jacksonville then placed as a minus 145 favorite to win the division? Everything has a number associated with it. I think it's a wonderful way to create conversation and to drive concept, Joe, through actual statistical figures and odds. But what we are seeing here, Lisi, and what one thing that really drives me insane is people saying, well, sports gambling is getting run over right now. Sports are becoming too associated with sports betting. This shouldn't be happening. It's a taboo look at things, Joe. It's always happened. It's happened behind the scenes for 50, 75 years. It's why Pete Rose is not allowed in Cooperstown to be a part of Major League Baseball's Hall of Fame, because he was doing things behind the scenes. The reason these things are tracked, Joe, the reasons we have suspensions handed down, is because all of these gentlemen placed legal sports wagers that tie you to an exact location and an exact bet in terms of what you did that can be legally tracked. We'll continue to break that down, Joe, because we got some heat on this Friday as we react to the big NFL breaking news that we have multiple suspensions based on violations of the NFL's gambling policy. More next on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We're back on FFC. The big news in the world of the National Football League today: significant suspensions for multiple players, Joe, around the NFL for violating the NFL's gambling policy. Four Detroit Lions, Jamison Williams entering his second year, along with his teammate Stanley Berry Hill, suspended for 6 games for 2023 for violating the NFL's gambling policy. Two now former Lions who have been cut as of this morning, Quintez Cephas and C.J. Moore, have been suspended indefinitely for at least 2023, and the Washington Commanders player Shaka Toney also suspended for the entirety of 2023 indefinitely at this time. Joe, the reason there is a distinction with three of the five receiving an indefinite suspension where they can apply for reinstatement at the end of 2023, and for only two players being suspended for 6 games, that being Williams and Berry Hill, is because of what was bet on. The three players, Shaka Toney, C.J. Moore, Quintez Cephas, bet on NFL games, a huge no-no and blunder on their end. It's why they have an indefinite suspension. Williams and Berry Hill bet on college sports, Joe, but did so from a location that was deemed a part of their NFL organization's facilities, whatever that might be, the locker room, the workout room, the cafeteria, a team bus, it does not matter, but because of geolocation services, it was deemed it was within a facility or something associated with that NFL organization, which you are not allowed to do either. But it was not on NFL games. Joe, what do you make of that distinction?
Well, I mean, obviously Williams was in the app, right? And we know that because of the geolocation type of technology that they have, which pinpoints exactly which state and where you're at from an IP address. But at the end of the day, just the whole aspect is, why risk it? Whether Williamson was gambling on NFL games or college games, why even go down that route? I told you, in order to set up on any app, you have to put in your information, you have to put in your ID, you have to put in everything for tax purposes. Why do you want to subject yourself to that? Why, if my career is that important from a football aspect, I don't even want to go anywhere near it. I'm not even downloading the app, whether it be, you know, so that's the biggest question mark I have. Forget the fact that it was college sports as opposed to the NFL. Still gambling. You're still risking your career. You're making tens of millions of dollars to play football. You had one catch for 9 yards last year. Are you serious? That means more to gamble. You're more involved in gambling on a college sport than maybe you are in terms of getting back on the football field and helping your team win football games. It's just completely asinine to me. And this is what we talk about, maturity. The NFL could coach and mentor as much as they want, but at the end of the day, free will takes over. Either you want to care about your career and you want to take the next step, or you don't really care, and it's just, what can I get in the short term? That's really what it comes down to, Ben.
Absolutely so. And Joe, I think that's a really interesting distinction you make, and one that I want to again express, as I did as we got up to the break, with maybe a little bit too much heat to get my point across. A lot of people will look at the NFL and say, what's the big deal? You guys partner with FanDuel and DraftKings and BetMGM. You have multiple sports betting operators that you partner with. Yes, sports betting is legal in certain states around the United States. The NFL partners, as do other professional leagues like Major League Baseball, Joe, like the NBA as well, like the NHL. They partner with legal sports betting operators, sports books where you bet. FanDuel, DraftKings, so on and so forth. It is legal. These players all put in a legal sports wager, and because sports betting is now legal, Joe, and because of geolocation services, and because of all of the information you must put in as you sign up to place a bet on FanDuel or DraftKings, because of the legal nature of sports betting, Joe, it's how these violations were even documented in the first place. They placed legal sports wagers. The issue is not legal sports betting, Joe. It's a violation of your company's workplace policy. It's as simple as that. If the NFL says you cannot do X and you do X, you are going to be suspended. Certainly, Joe, if it has to at all call into question or compromise the integrity of the actual product on the football field. And that is what we have here, Joe. It is not legal sports betting that is at fault. In fact, it's how these were so easily documented. It is the idea of violating a policy that says what you can and cannot do.
Yeah, and here's the thing, too, that people need to realize and recognize. It's about perception. It's not about the fact that the NFL partnered with a gambling organization or a casino. That's not the fact. That's not the real fact here. The fact is, how do fans, how do the people that pay for your tickets, that support your career, that buy your jersey, that really give you the opportunity to earn millions of dollars, if they view you or view your team or league as being, I want to say, fugazi, as we say, or not on the up and up, that you're giving it your all, or that you're more involved about maybe determining the outcome for your own benefit, that's a big problem. So it comes down to perception. That's why they don't want them gambling on anything for the most part, but they do have free will. Go to a casino. You want to gamble $100,000? Do what Drake does. Go to the casino, drop $100,000 on roulette or blackjack, black or red, and that's it. Call it a day. I don't understand. You need to get that money through sports gambling, which could affect everything that you do from here on out, including endorsement deals. It makes no sense to me.
I completely agree, Joe. And that's the issue, right? And you would think that Calvin Ridley, unfortunately being the scapegoat that he was, would have taught these players what you can and cannot do. Maybe there's a breakdown in communication to these NFL clubs from the league office in terms of what the exact policy is. We could certainly see that with Jameson Williams and Detroit's Stanley Berryhill here as well, because they placed a legal sports wager on a non-NFL game, but did so from a location you are not able to place a legal sports wager. Maybe there was the confusion, but you still have to know the rules. Joe, if Sports Grid tells you and I we cannot bet on this certain sport, we might think it's dumb, but it's the rules. We risk a punishment from our company. Your workplace, as we have seen with the NFL, is allowed to set a policy of whatever it might be, gambling, personal conduct. We have seen that come into play. And Joe, right or wrong, I'm not going to get into this conversation, but right or wrong, the NFL is always, first and foremost, going to uphold the integrity of its sport, the actual result of football games. It is why the NFL cracks down on gambling, and when somebody assaults somebody off the field, it is not nearly punished the same way, Joe, or they don't use the same judicial process. It does not make sense. It is frankly wrong, but the NFL is always going to look out for the integrity of its actual game, Joe, more than the personal conduct of its players off of the football field. It's the sad reality. Very, very sad, but it is the reality. And that's why, Joe, you see these significant suspensions. It's not because of legal sports betting. It's not because of the NFL's partnership with legal sports betting operators or the numerous commercials you see, although they can be annoying at times. It's because these five players, unfortunately, either did not fully understand the rules or whatever it might have been, but they broke the rules. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And, you know, Calvin Ridley was the best wide receiver on his team, right, in regards to when he got caught for sports gambling and in terms of betting on games, right? So you have both sides of the spectrum. You have the elite star athlete with Ridley in terms of the Falcons, right, when he was there. And now you have Jameson Williams, the rookie, and I want to say role players for the other teams, right? So you have both sides of the spectrum. At the end of the day, I could tell you this, the more players that come out or get caught for this, the perception is going to ruin the product as a whole, and these players won't have to worry anymore, because then the NFL will be cracking down on everything because they run the risk of losing the league as a whole.
And that's, I don't think it's going to get to that point, Joe. I do hear what you're saying, and that is part of the idea here, but I don't think it's because of the partnership with sports gambling. It's because players might not fully understand what these violations are. We'll continue the conversation up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
All right, a few more minutes here in our discussion of the big NFL news on this Friday, that five NFL players have been suspended for a violation of the NFL's gambling policy. Three, two formerly of the Detroit Lions, C.J. Moore and Quintez Cephas, and one of the Washington Commanders, Shaka Toney, have been suspended indefinitely, at least the entirety of the 2023 season. They can apply for reinstation at the end of that. Reinstatement, excuse me. Jameson Williams of the Detroit Lions, as well as his teammate Stanley Berry Hill, have been suspended for six games starting at the regular season beginning of 2023. They can go through all offseason workouts, Joe, even play in preseason games, but they'll be suspended for the first six games of the 2023 campaign because they bet on sports, mainly college sports, as it's been detailed here, but did so from an organizational facility, whatever that might be. Joe, we talked about it right there at the end. I think there's a couple of issues you can have with these suspensions. Why are these so heavily litigated when players off the field do terrible things that question their character and yet get suspended four games, six games? That's as documented as these violations. I think that's very fair. But I think the answer, Joe, right or wrong, and I think it's wrong, but the sad reality is when you call into question the integrity of the actual game and the result of a game on the field, which sports betting does, and betting on games might allow the public to feel that way, that is always going to be met with a harsher punishment. But it's not because of legal sports betting, Joe. So don't blame betting. Blame that the policy was violated, and blame the NFL for how they legislate everything.
Yeah, I'm with you. Listen, there's a couple of things as well that I want to say. It definitely has nothing to do with the actual ability to bet on games from the public. That has nothing to do with it, okay? It's been there. Vegas has been around for a long time, and we never had issues, you know, in regards to that. It's not the sports gambling mainstream or global aspect. That has nothing to do with it. It comes down to the individual, the ability to make a decision and put yourself and the league league at risk in terms of a perception problem. At the end of the day, it comes down to either you're dialed into your craft or you're not. If you're not dialed in, we see it. That's why players unfortunately do drugs, and alcoholism has affected careers, right? And not just in terms of sports, but in every level, white collar jobs, right? It's the same thing. What matters to you? Either the ability to win Super Bowls, the ability to be the best wide receiver, or the best defensive tackle, or the best offensive lineman. That holds true in terms of your will, and you're not going to let anything or anything come in regards to that or deter you from that goal. That's what it comes down to. Or you know what? You're half-ass it. You know you have ability, but you know what? When I get around to it and I get healthy, then I'll play. And you know what? Football's good, but I can live without it. And you know, so what? Let's see if they catch me. You know, there's players like that too. That's what it comes down to in terms of the mindset. That's why they put out the rules. Some players follow them, most, right? Most, 90, yeah. 95%, but you still get the 5% in every job, and that's what makes the world go round. That's why right. We have different opinions. That's why we accept everybody. I mean, this is it. You have to take the good, the bad, and the ugly in terms of the NFL, and this is what it is.
Well said, Joe. And at the end of the day, agree with the policy or not, question how well the policy has been communicated here with club and team personnel, whatever you want to say. The violation of the rules, not the sports betting, is what got these players suspended. Again, we'll wrap up with this. Five NFL players suspended on this Friday for violations of the NFL's gambling policy. Three, Quintez Cephas, C.J. Moore, who are formerly now, after they were cut this morning by the Detroit Lions, of the Lions organization, and Shaka Toney, suspended indefinitely for betting on actual NFL games. They have been suspended indefinitely. They can apply for reinstatement to the National Football League following the full 2023 season. Detroit's Jamison Williams and Stanley Berry Hill were seen to have bet, Joe, on other sports, non-NFL games, but they did so in a location that was tied to the NFL organization or facility, which is against the rules. All right. That's where things stand, Joe. I think we've made our points across this first half an hour of the show. For the second half of Football Full Circle on this Friday, the top 10 mock drafts that were promised for the 2023 NFL draft. Joe, I think we both tried to use the odds. We tried to look at team needs. We tried to look at the top 10 of the draft order and fit in where we thought players best could fall and where we think they might be selected in 6 days from now on a Thursday night this upcoming week in Kansas City for the start of that opening round. Lisi, would you like to go 1 through 5 and then we'll discuss from there?
Yeah, I'll go. Obviously, Bryce Young, I think, is the top pick for Carolina. I think he's clearly head and shoulders above, you know, where the other quarterbacks are. Like C.J. Stroud, I'll get to him in a couple of minutes, but you're getting a player that stepped up, performed his best on an elite level, unprecedented in terms of poise and pocket presence, and the ability to read coverage is why I have Bryce Young number one overall for the Carolina Panthers. Number two, I have Houston getting traded out with the Tennessee Titans, and I have the Titans reaching up to grab C.J. Stroud. Titans are number 11 in this draft. They made the decision to ship A.J. Brown last year. I don't know what they're going to have to do to get up there, but they need a quarterback for the future. We'll see what they do, but I have them taking C.J. Stroud. I think they are the outlier in terms of Tennessee in this draft in terms of trading up. Number three, I think Arizona does stay pat. They go with Will Anderson out of Alabama. Defensive-minded coach from the Eagles. Defensive line sucked for the Arizona Cardinals last year. I think they could use Will Anderson in terms of that lineup, so I have him going there. Indianapolis, everybody talking about potentially Will Levis. You need a quarterback, so I'll throw it in there. Anthony Richardson, don't love it. But if you want to go quarterback for Indianapolis, I think that's where they go with Steichen and in terms of the way he was able to progress with Jalen Hurts. And then Seattle, I could go two ways here. I don't think they go quarterback with this pick, but Tyree Wilson, I think, is an added dimension to that defensive line, or they could go offensive tackle in terms of Northwestern with Skoronski. But I think Tyree Wilson is the pick, the way he elevated his play. Turn on the tape in that game in Ames at the end of the year against Iowa State. Solely turned that ball game around.
Wow. Joe Lisi, you and I see the top five of the 2023 NFL draft very, very similarly. I would not
really
say, Joe, that we see it differently. I think we see it very, very close. There is one difference, Joe, or two differences in the way that we see the top five. I'll start as well. Bryce Young is going number one overall to Carolina. The Panthers can say they're not fully set yet. They haven't made their final determination. Bryce Young's a minus 1,200 favorite to go first overall. He is going to be the starting quarterback for the Carolina Panthers moving forward week number one in 2023 for a new head coach in Frank Reich. So at number one overall, I have Carolina taking Bryce Young. At number two, Joe, I believe Houston trades as well. But here was the tricky thing. You mentioned how Houston trades with Tennessee. I do think the Titans are on the move. I'll get to that in just a little bit later on in my top 10. But I think the two teams, Joe, that are most likely to trade for a quarterback, at least on public perception, or trade up the draft order for a quarterback at this moment, are two teams in the AFC South, the Colts and the Titans. But I don't think the Texans want to trade with either of their divisional foes. Houston might not be set on C.J. Stroud or another quarterback, but I don't think they want to play any active part, Joe, in helping a divisional rival potentially get their quarterback of the future. So trading with Houston is the Atlanta Falcons, up from number eight overall. I think the Dirty Birds make their way up to number two overall in select C.J. Stroud out of Ohio State. At number three, I believe Arizona stays pat as well, and they draft Will Anderson Jr., the edge rusher, out of Alabama. Right now, Joe, although I don't agree that Will Levis is the third best quarterback in this draft class, he is now an odds-on favorite to go fourth overall at minus 175, and the team that is favored to draft Levis is Indianapolis at minus 110. I'm going to follow the odds. I think Indy takes Will Levis at number four, and then at five, I agree exactly with you. Tyree Wilson, the edge rusher out of Texas Tech, goes fifth overall, Joe, to the Seattle Seahawks. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point in terms of do they do it with a divisional rival, right? The only thing I will say is that Tennessee picks 11th, right? So to get back-to-back, 11 and 12 might be appealing. And if they throw in Tannehill, let's just say, I'm just saying. I'm not saying they do, or Malik Willis, maybe you have an opportunity to make that move. But I think it's good. The problem that I have is Will Levis. I know he's the favorite.
Yeah,
I can't accept that.
You can't do it, right?
I can't accept that. I refuse to believe that's going to hold true when you and I are sitting there next Thursday night in terms of the first round. I'm going to fall off my chair because I think it's a terrible decision. If you're going to go quarterback and you're Indianapolis and Stroud and Young are off the board, if you don't want to take a Hooker, obviously top five because of the injury, I would go AR over Will Levis in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I hear your point, Joe. And I know how you feel about Will Levis. I feel a similar way. I wouldn't, if I was sitting in Indianapolis's war room, draft Will Levis, but I think they are going to. I think the Colts will use that fourth pick on Will Levis if the draft shakes out like this. If Houston is open, Joe, to trading with a divisional rival, then I would not be surprised to see Indianapolis move up to number two to take C.J. Stroud. I think that's who the Colts would rather have. I just think it's going to be tough to trade up to two within their same division. A couple of odds ramifications of what Lisi and I just said for our top five of our top 10 2023 NFL mock drafts. We'll talk about that up next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We're back with our top 10 of the 2023 NFL Draft, our mock drafts here on Football Full Circle. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Joe, I do want to tie the odds to a little bit of what we said right there. We both believe that an NFL team, you think it's the Tennessee Titans, I think it's the Atlanta Falcons, moves up the draft board, trading with the Houston Texans for that second overall selection to take the quarterback out of Ohio State, C.J. Stroud. But right now, Joe, Stroud continues to see his odds grow longer for that second overall pick. Now he has the fourth best price at plus 320. Will Anderson is the favorite, plus 230. Tyree Wilson, 10 cents behind, plus 240. Then Will Levis at plus 270. And then Stroud at plus 320, Joe. All four of those players within 90 cents of each other to be the number two overall pick. But Stroud's odds, Joe, continue to grow longer.
Yeah, they do, and I can't figure out why. And I heard the Brady Quinn interview and podcast with, you know, that he turned down the Manning camp. Listen, the bottom line is the kid can play, and if you don't know that, then you don't watch Ohio State or college football every day. And the ability to just, you know, if he has a clean pocket, I said it, he's as lethal of a pocket passer as there is in this draft class. And I think he's got a little Tom Brady in him in the zip, the ability to make every throw outside the hashes. Now, pump the brakes. I know he didn't win the national championship. I know that the knock on him was he didn't win the big games potentially against Georgia and obviously against Michigan in back-to-back years. I'm just suggesting in terms of style of play, C.J. Stroud is the best, one of the best pocket passers that I've seen over the last couple of years. I think Young is better because of his ability to extend plays. But at the end of the day, you're splitting hairs. I think C.J. Stroud will be in this league 5 to 7 years as a starter at least, just like Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. He's got that added factor as well, along with Young. So we'll see how it plays out.
Absolutely so, Joe. It's a really good point. And I will say this. The reason I think C.J. Stroud is on the slide, which I don't understand, it really draws back memories, Joe, of 2 years ago and another quarterback out of Ohio State that had as prolific of quarterbacking seasons as you will see in the history of that illustrious football program in the Big Ten Conference overall. Your character is put into question. Your ability to comprehend the game of football is put into question. I don't understand this. Joe, there is a new test that is done in the National Football League that I actually think is really smart. It's called the S2 Cognition Test. It's about a 30 to 45 minute evaluation of how your brain uniquely looks at things and tests your cognitive skills. It is the only sports evaluation tool that scientifically, Joe, down to the millisecond, measures an athlete's game skill and game speed cognitive ability. So how you perceive something in actual game flow. It is not the game. It's a cognition test to test how you keep up with things cognitively at that real environment. And C.J. Stroud, Joe, reportedly got in the 18th percentile. It's one of the lowest out of this quarterback draft class here in 2023. For that reason, Joe, I think he's starting to be on the slide. But I think you also need to pair that test as you would a 40-yard dash, as a vertical jump, as his throwing scripted at a pro day, with everything you see on the actual film that would tell you that C.J. Stroud had two of the five most efficient passing seasons in the history of the Big Ten Conference. Yes, college football has become more of a passing-dominated offensive style in the last 8 to 10 years, and you're going to see a lot of the most efficient seasons in the last decade plus. But C.J. Stroud is the fourth most efficient passer in the history of college football. He seems to go through things pretty well, Joe, on the actual football field. So yes, the S2 cognition test is important, but it is not the whole deal. I would not let C.J. Stroud slide.
No, me neither. And again, I understand the cognitive test. That's great if we're talking about obviously a lawyer or someone that has to, you know, break down, verbatim paragraphs. Listen, at the end of the day, he could have been tired. He could have, had a bad night. I mean, he could have been sore from working out the next day. Didn't want to do the cognitive test. Here's the thing. I don't put a lot of weight. And this is what drives me nuts is that, the Wunderlich, guys used to score 39 and 38. And guess what? They're lifetime backups in the NFL. That's great that they can read a book. At the end of the day, can they play football? And I'm not suggesting that football players are dumb. And I'm not suggesting that C.J. Stroud wasn't up to par in terms of cognitive level. All I know is this. He seems to read coverage pretty well against the best defending national champions in terms of New Year's Eve night when he sliced and diced them for 328 yards and four touchdowns. And, oh, by the way, no interceptions. Put his team in a position position to win that ball game with a late second field goal. And if the kicker comes through, are we still having concerns about C.J. Stroud? I mean, come on now. It's just amazing on what we choose to concentrate on in terms of dropping a potential player in the NFL draft. Zach Wilson sucked in college. He basically sucked. Didn't even do what Justin Fields or C.J. Stroud did in terms of Columbus and Ohio State, and yet they pumped him up to number two overall. Where's Zach Wilson now?
He's never probably going to start a game unless it's due to injury, Joe, again, in the National Football League. Now, here's the thing. Again, Joe, I think you bring up a great point. These are great tests that we have. The S2 cognition is by far and away better than the Wonderlic, which is, for the most part, Joe, not been used anymore. It's been put in the dirt where it deserves to be. The S2 cognition is just measuring your cognitive ability and how you perceive game speed, cognitive functions. But again, it has to match what you see on tape. I still think C.J. Stroud is by far and away the second best quarterback here in the 2023 NFL draft class. But his odds grow longer. Maybe that's value at +320. Right now, Joe, Stroud and, well, actually, C.J. Stroud is the favorite to go number three overall. Will Anderson, the second best price as we see it at +300. Anderson and Tyree Wilson, Joe, co-favorites to be that fifth overall pick. And if you look at the odds to be a top five selection, which we now have available, Tyree Wilson at -195, Joe, is a pretty heavy favorite to go in the top five as we both have it.
Yeah, supposedly, you know, the Seattle Seahawks love him right now. And that's you know, Pete Carroll knows his type of player, right? And he could coach him up. So, again, he's got a huge wingspan. He's 6'6". He's not just an edge rusher and a dominant force in terms of getting after the quarterback in run, in terms of, you know, the ability to shut down the run. Takes two and three people to stop him. He could sniff out the run as good as anybody in terms of this class. So, I love him. I think he's right there with Will Anderson. I think Will is a little more athletic, but Tyree Wilson, in terms of a Myles Garrett type of player, you can't go wrong. And I think Seattle not reaches up, but takes them in terms of their spot, top 10, right there at the fifth overall pick.
I think so as well. All right, Joe, let's fire through the ending of our top 10 mock draft, 6 through 10. You begin, please.
Yeah, mine's going to look a little different now because of what happened with Williams. I think it's Smith and Njigba in terms of the Ohio State wide receiver. They need explosive playmakers. And at the end of the day, they have to compete with Justin Jefferson and some of the other teams like Green Bay in the division. And if they're going to take the next step, they need wide receiver help. I took a different approach here. I know Las Vegas needs a quarterback, but I think they go defensive back. I go either Witherspoon or Joey Porter Jr. for Las Vegas there. I think they definitely need to step up on the secondary side. Atlanta, I think they go, believe it or not, take best available Skoronski from Northwestern tackle. I don't think you can go wrong. And then here's where I differ from everybody else. This is the only team I believe top 10 for a running back. Bijan Robinson coupled with Justin Fields, lethal after losing David Montgomery. And I do feel that the Eagles take Jalen Carter if he falls because of Nakobe Dean, because of Jordan Davis. You might as well have the Georgia defense out there for the next 3 to 5 seasons.
I like that idea, Joe. So we are a little bit different here, 6 through 10, because we had a couple of different things. You had Tennessee trading up with Houston for the second overall pick to take Stroud. I think Tennessee's on the move as well. I think they trade with Detroit at number 6 to make sure they can take Anthony Richardson with that 6th overall pick in front of two teams, the Raiders and I guess the Texans, where I have them moving back to 8, Joe, that still need a quarterback. So I have Anthony Richardson going 6th overall to the Tennessee Titans. The Titans are the favorite team, by the way, to draft Anthony Richardson at 2-1. So, Joe, we both kind of follow that suit. The Tennessee is in the market for a quarterback. At number 7 overall, I have Las Vegas going with not a quarter, but a cornerback in Devin Witherspoon, the outstanding defensive back out of Illinois, led all of college football with 16 pass breakups a year ago. I had Houston, Joe, trading with Atlanta, 2 and 8. Obviously, Atlanta getting C.J. Stroud at 2nd overall. Houston moves back to the 8th overall selection. I have them taking the defensive lineman out of Georgia in Jalen Carter. Then at number 9, I think the Bears, regardless if Carter is available here, Joe, I think they'll go offensive line to try to protect their biggest asset in Justin Fields. I think they take Peter Skoronski out of Northwestern, keeping the cat not far away in the Windy City in Chicago. And then at 10th overall, continuing that Georgia theme for the Eagles, Nolan Smith going to the Birds. Joe, what do you make of it all?
I like Nolan Smith. Let me tell you, Nolan Smith, what an edge rusher coming off the edge. I mean, significant speed. We saw, what do you run, a 4.5 flat 40 or a 4.4? I mean, amazing speed coming off the edge. I like the pick. I agree with you. The only thing is, I mean, Anthony Richardson, if he does go to Tennessee, I mean, that would have to be, if he is a bust over the next 2 or 3 years, and I'm not suggesting that, does Tennessee ever go for a quarterback again? I mean, knowing that they rolled the dice with Willis and missed, and then if AR doesn't pan out, they really have to get a better quarterback whisperer in the room.
Certainly they do, Joe. Certainly they do. It would be pretty devastating when you think about it, to draft Malik Willis, to have Ryan Tannehill, a guy you thought was going to be your face of the franchise for a while, and end up then having Anthony Richardson, which is an optimistic thing. I really do believe AR, Joe, is going to make some noise in the National Football League. At least it's going to be fun. But to miss on that with the, I don't know if you want to call it a pretty high, a pretty low floor at the moment, but there is that idea that Anthony Richardson, not as polished as a Bryce Young. Yes, it would be pretty devastating overall, I would believe, for that franchise. But it's a new general manager, Joe, as well in Nashville. Don't forget, in Rand Carthen, he was a part of the San Francisco front office when they traded up for Trey Lance at third overall. Anthony Richardson, Joe, minus 115 to be a top five pick. He is in minus money right now, but not necessarily the strongest favorite to be a top five pick. You think he goes four to Indianapolis. I think he goes six. I think Jalen Carter, Joe, is going to be an interesting name to follow here in the 2023 NFL draft. Of course, he is supremely talented on the football field, but he pled no contest to two misdemeanor charges of reckless driving and racing, and a part of a tragic accident that included a Georgia football staffer, Chandler LaCroix, and one of his former teammates in Devin Willick back in the middle of January. We're not entirely sure, Joe, how that off-the-field concern is going to affect his draft stock. And again, it's not just an off-the-field concern that you can push under the rug. It was a tragic accident that saw two lives lost. It will be interesting, Joe, knowing the National Football League, though, how the evaluation of Jalen Carter has changed here in the past 2 months as we get ready for the draft next week.
Yeah, it really is. Off-the-field issues, we see it. Look at today's news, right? You got to keep your nose clean, especially when you're headed into the NFL draft. That's what it's all about, long-term career.
Yep, absolutely so. We'll wrap up this discussion by looking at the odds up next here on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on FFC for just a few more minutes. Joe, there's a couple of names here that are favored to be a top 10 pick at this moment that I'm pretty intrigued to hear your take on. The reason I went with Devin Witherspoon, Joe, at number 7 overall in my top 10 mock draft to the Las Vegas Raiders and not Christian Gonzalez, the cornerback out of Oregon, is twofold. One, I think Devin Witherspoon is better. But two, Joe, he's also favored to be the first cornerback selected, a minus 200 number. Yet Christian Gonzalez out of Oregon, Joe, is also minus 200 to be a top 10 pick. How do you see that breaking down a week or now just 6 days away?
Well, I mean, it all goes into style, right? We saw this a couple of years ago with Sertan and J.C. Horn. Who do you like better? Can Gonzalez transferred from Colorado to Oregon? Again, it's Pac-12 competition. You would think better wide receivers, speedier in terms of the Pac-12. He can play man-to-man coverage. But I like Witherspoon. I like Porter, too. I think they're better tacklers in terms of space. They could creep up on the line of scrimmage in terms of nickel, run blitz type of situations as well. So I like both of those players. I would take Witherspoon over Gonzalez, but it's preference. It's what you want in terms of your defensive scheme. But again, I think all three players are top 10 picks, Ben.
Yeah, it really is just an idea, Joe, of what works best for your positional needs. Joe, there's a guy by the name of Lucas Van Ness. He's called Hercules by his teammates at Iowa. He is going to be a pick, Joe, I think at least in the top 15, that I'm incredibly excited to see where he lands. He's plus 260 right now to be a top 10 pick. But I don't know if he goes all the way in the top 10. I would love to know what his over-under draft number is going to be. It's not available currently on the FanDuel Sportsbook. He's Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Next week is officially draft week for the 2023 NFL Draft. We will talk all about it as we get going here. Just 6 days away from that opening round on a Thursday night in Kansas City. Have a great weekend, everybody. But not before you check out the Moneyline. It's up next here on the Sports Grid Radio.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.